All I did in the first session was present the need. I'm going to reiterate that. You are some of the finest people I've ever met. Will agree with me. When these six men would pay the kind of price they paid just to come and be here with you, that speaks volumes about you. You're wonderful. I'm right. The Bible says, let the lips of another praise you. This is a wonderful place. Come on, somebody. This is God's place. A dove flew in here last night and said, this is my place. I'll walk with you. I'll talk with you. This is a wonderful campus. A wonderful ministry. Doing the Great Commission. Infiltrating the nations. Wonderful faculty. Wonderful students. Cooks ain't bad either. Hallelujah. And I mean, it's just wonderful. Not enough. Where are we going to get the boldness and the courage to be and to do everything God has told us that we are and what we're to do? And now we got us a problem. This 60 acres, he told me the story of how it came about. Sunday morning, I'm going to show him something back on that two-penny thing, that 2 cents thing. God had to do this. Hello? It's marvelous. Except the Lord had been on our side. And all that's all those scriptures. It's the Lord. You're wonderful people. Your heart's right. You're worshipers. You're a praying people. You love God. You're not proud. You're not arrogant. You know the Word. But in this one area, you need to be strengthened. And God sent me here. Why? To strengthen you. Is God or His servants upset with us because we've got this particular need in this area? Of course not. I move out of the mercy seat. If I appear intense or even angry, it's because I'm after that thing that may hurt you and keep you from being what He said. Now here's the dilemma. When He wrote the book, His report on me and you is that we are Christ corporately. Christ is the image of God. What's Antichrist? Any other image. Anything that we got going on up here between our ears, concocted about ourselves, anything we think about ourselves, anything we believe about ourselves, whether we said it or somebody else said it, that is other than what that word says we are in Him. And the problem, children, is we do what we are. Pure Christology, the person and work of Jesus Christ, His works flow out of His person. Is that correct? Surely. It's true with all of us. We are, and then we do. We do what we are. And if we're not clear, if we don't have a powerful scriptural handle on who we already are based on what He's already done, as sweet as we are and as wonderful as we are, and as much family and all the good stuff, and doves flying on campus, thank you, Jesus, we still may die and go to heaven and miss His purpose. God's purpose is not for you to die and go to heaven. And to teach us that lesson, the Old Testament church in the wilderness had 100 funerals a day. Because they did not mix the word with action. Faith. And it provoked God. Hebrews 3 and 4. Did it provoke Him? Upset Him, man. Is God upset with us? The only way God would ever be upset with you guys if you would ignore what I'm saying today and believe everything else. The devil would love that because everything else is going to hinge on this morning. Can you explain what this operation is? It's the renewing, the renovating of your mind to where you make a resolve, dedication, commitment today that you will not say or think or act any other way than what God has said in His Word about you. You ever throw a pity party? God never comes. Neither do His prophets. Now, if you were just ordinary Christians, we'd go have tea. But this place and most of you have been apprehended for the top of the mountain. There is a high, an anno, an upward calling. And I love you this morning, and enough to tell you, if you're called to be the best and you're only good, that makes you fair. This is a 5-talent campus. 1 or 2 talents won't cut it, of whom much is given. But that requirement is not by the letter. It's by the Spirit. It only comes by the grace and the enabling and the empowerment of the indwelling Holy Ghost. God wants to come into this room in this next hour and completely renew your mind. See how near He is right now? And the word of the Lord to you is, neither do I condemn thee. But don't get the rest of it out either. Go and sin no more. Because the essence of sin is unbelief. John 16:8-11. He's come to convince us concerning sin. Of sin, because Jesus said, they will not believe in ice into me. You're making it too simple, Pastor Varner. I know, I'm a simple man. Why in the developing nations do we see miracles and not in America? Because Americans know too much. They don't even need God. Well, I need God. I said, I need God. I said, I need God. And I choose to believe what He said about me. Can you see in me authority and boldness? Would you like to know my secret? I believe that book. I'm sold on what God has done in my life because I used to live with me and I know what I was. And every day I marvel at who I am becoming in Christ. And yet I know that my growth in grace is nothing more or less than an ongoing awareness of who I already am in Christ on the basis of what He has already done. Now, if you're religious or you've got an ego, you won't like that. If you've spent your whole life, as the old-timey Pentecostal said, to walk right, talk right, and spit white, you won't like that. God wants somebody in this room in this next hour to humble themselves like a little child and hear the word of the Lord. I'm going to do it in 2 tracks. One, I'm going to show you who this Christ in you already is, regardless of what you already know or feel about it. That's amazing right there. And then I'm going to show you how to release Him. As Pentecostals pray ignorantly and amiss, "Oh God, rend the heavens and come down!" He's saying, "God, I did that. I did that. Oh, God, come down." He's not going to come down now, children. He's going to come up and out of a people who know better. Loose Him and let Him go. You can be seated. Listen up, listen up, listen up. I'm going to wait till your attention is riveted here. I mean riveted. Did I show you last night that Christ is in you? Did I show you that? Hello, did I show you that? Talk to me. We can talk. I didn't use any anesthetic. You're live on the operating table. We can talk now. You can watch the incision, okay? Did I show you last night that Christ is in you? I'm not going to talk to you guys. You're just not answering me. Did I show you last night that Christ is in you?
Yes.
What did they just say?
Yes.
Very good. Pat your tummy. Pat your tummy. Say it's in there.
Yes.
Good. Now, what does Christ mean? Anointed one. Jesus means Savior. Christ means anointed one, right? What three offices? I already told you in the first session. Prophet, priest, and king. Were they anointed? Yes. Prophets were anointed. We know that. 2 Kings 2. 1 Kings 19. Elijah anointed Elisha in his place. Priests were anointed. Exodus 40. Aaron and his sons. Kings were anointed. David three times. We told you that. So who were anointed? Prophets, priests, and kings. Watch this. Christ in you. Watch me now. I'm going to make a little chart. Christ produces the kingdom. Got that? That's my chart. Christ produces the kingdom. What three words am I going to put under Christ? Prophet, priest, and king. Okay. What three words am I going to put under kingdom? Romans 14, 17. Righteousness, peace, and joy. I'll rewind that. Romans 14, 17, assuming nothing, says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's what? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You got my chart up here? Christ produces the kingdom. Got it? Prophet, priest, and king. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Well, that'll work. Because wherever you got a true prophet, what's the fruit of that? Righteousness. And the priest? Peace. And the king? Joy. That'll work. Yes. Yes. Oh, really? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Aye. Now, prophet, priest, king, righteousness, peace, joy. You got that? Jesus said in John 7, 37, 38, and 39, he said, out of a man's belly would flow something. Rivers what? Living water. And this spake he concerning the Holy Ghost. Where's the Holy Ghost? In you. Where's the kingdom? In you. Where's Christ? In you. Got it? Good. The river out of the belly. The word flow is reo, English rhetoric. Copeland says faith-filled words. The river out of the belly is the prophet. In Ezekiel 47, where was the river out of? The temple, the sanctuary. Guess what that is? Priest. Ezekiel 47. Revelation 22, where was the river out of? Throne, king. You catching some of this? Now let's back up and see what that means. Pat your tummy. All right. Every one of you that's filled with the Holy Ghost, stand up and smile at me. Show your teeth. Sit back down. Are you sure you're filled with the Holy Ghost? Let me get a count on that again. You're sure you're filled with the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
You're sure?
Yes.
Who were you again? Can I see you stand up and smile? Where were you? I see. Very good. Go ahead. That means that there is a prophetic, priestly, and kingly anointing already in you. Now, for your teachers, I'm not making anybody in this room a prophet. No, 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 no. All prophets have prophetic ministry, but not all those with prophetic ministry are prophets. No, 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 no. I'm not making you a problem. No, 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 no. No. But every Holy Ghost-filled child of God has a prophetic anointing in their belly. What's a prophet? A prophet declares God unto men. There's already within you an anointing to speak to anybody, to declare God unto men.
Well, I just can't talk to people.
Well, my people are destroyed because they don't know. What gives me the right to fly 10,000 miles and come here and talk to you like I know what I'm talking about? And you get this stuck in your face every day you walk in this. Who do you think you are? Well, if you got a Bible in a couple days, let's sit down and I'll tell you who I know I am. In Him. In Him. There's a prophetic anointing in each of you that stood up. There's an ability already residing. Now, the presiding one is the one that needs to be there. The residing one needs to become the presiding one. Mm-hmm. What's a priest do? A prophet declares God unto men. What's a priest do? He brings men to God. Well, I just can't find it in me to love that person. Then you deny who you are. Well, they hurt me. Well, welcome to life. If you don't want to get hurt, never get married. Don't have babies and never pastor a church. Or start a Bible school. Now, I'm not, you know what's neat? Y'all think, laying on this operating table, that I'm not going to cut you from here to here. But this laser surgery is so neat, you're being cut and don't even know it. But some of you kind of say, this isn't bad. This isn't bad at all. I'm cool. I can make it without tea this morning. I'm all right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And some of you think, boy, what a wonderful teaching. Oh, look at Pastor Barnum this morning. He's being cute. And you're nowhere near what I'm doing. You're going to miss God if you keep in that present state of listening. Don't forsake your own mercy this morning. Everybody in this room needs to hear this word. Because God has laid His hand upon you and this school and this man and this woman to impact your entire nation. Somebody give me an amen.
Amen.
And you're going to have all hell break loose against you in your face saying, who do you think you are? You better know there's a prophetic anointing in you that can declare God unto men, and a priestly anointing in you that can bring men to God, and a kingly anointing in you. A king rules by the power of God's name. You better know that authority's there. Now, as an aside, let me flip this thing. Here's how you'll know it. Here's how you'll discern the other things operating. What's the opposite of Christ? Antichrist. Well, if Christ produces the kingdom of God, what's Antichrist produce? The kingdom of self. Self. Well, what about the devil? Jesus destroyed him. Read your Bible. Told you yesterday he's crucified. Well, do you believe in a real personal literal devil? Yep. A really defeated one. Now just get off of that. Don't go there. We're not focused there. In the most holy place, the focus is on one, the Lord. I said Antichrist produces the kingdom of self, because Antichrist is instead of Christ, something instead of the anointing, it's humanism. Devil didn't do this one. We did this one. You wish you could get you a paper bag and puke this one up. No, sir. You got to kill this one. You got to crucify this one. You got to put this one to death. And there's two crosses that do that, his and yours. If we follow God this morning, there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and weeping at this altar. If we just go to lunch, we're going to miss the Lord. There's got to be some deep repentance here this morning. Deep. Over what? Unbelief. Over what? of not realizing how powerfully important and vital we are to the kingdom of God and the nations of the earth. These men must recognize it. Look at the price they paid to hear this word. Antichrist produces the kingdom of self. What's a false prophet? Easy. If a prophet declares God unto men, what's a false prophet do? Declares himself. What's a false priest do? Brings men unto himself. What's a false king do? Gets him a good public relations man and rules by the power of his own name. Sounds like American church to me. Denominationalism. Famous evangelists. Hired guns. Hallelujah. Now, all that stuff is in you. Prophet, priest, king. Let me give you another example. I'm telling you what's in you. You ever read the Song of Solomon? You ever read chapter 4? He said, my wife, my love, my beloved, he says, is a garden enclosed, a spring shut up, and a fountain sealed. That's Song of Solomon 4, verse 12. What is she? A garden enclosed. Come on. A spring shut up, and a fountain sealed. And I know because I've taught the book verse by verse. I've written verse by verse notes on the book. I study that book, okay? I know that a walled garden can mean positively or negatively. It can mean an oriental sense of the word is walled in and uniquely his. I know that. But the way I want to bring it is, she is a garden. You are a garden. Come on, somebody. And a spring and a fountain. But boys and girls, we got a problem. This campus is one of the best kept secrets in this nation. I look at you guys and you as individuals, and I see Joseph in prison, and I see David in the cave, and I say this, and you ought to shout on this one, the day of your release is shortly before you. Hallelujah! You're coming out, and the whole nation's going to see you, and the whole nation's going to hear you. You're going to move this nation. And God sent me here to arm you and equip you with the word of God so that when all you know what breaks loose against that, you'll just stand and say, get out of my face. Just be a fly in your face. I'm radical. I'm nuts. I haven't preached yet. I hope he'll let me preach before I leave. I really want to. Christ is the image of God. Come on. Antichrist is what? Any other image. She's a garden. She's a spring. She's a fountain. Problem. Enclosed. Shut up. What good is all of this stuff in you if it's never released? Anybody glad that I write books? What good would it be if I kept all this in me? I'm going to give a strong word of the Lord to all of us. We have no right to die unless we die empty. You have no right to die until you pour it all out. Enclosed. Shut up. Sealed. You want my impression of you in the Holy Ghost up till now? Wonderful, marvelous, awesome, enclosed, shut up, sealed, afraid, in control. God wants to blow through here with the Holy Ghost and break all your rules. Now, when I strike a nerve when I teach, I'm not like most preachers that say, oops, a nerve. Oh, sorry, got on that. Sorry. And they skirt around it. Baby, I got a nerve right now. I'm strapping you down to the operating table now. Somebody says, well, I don't even like the way you're talking to us today. Then take it up with my Father. He said, do it this way. The only reason you have to bind the sacrifice with cords to the altar is they're not a willing, living sacrifice. So if God has to tie me down to cut me, come on, God. Now you've got to know who you're dealing with. He wants a relationship with me. He wants to take me to Singapore or somewhere. I don't know. I'm a dangerous man. I'm a target. I'm a marked man. I'm not afraid of anybody's face. I've not no kingdom to build, no reputation to uphold. I'm not a smart aleck either. Not cute. But I'm crazy. And now I'm 51. And now I'm really crazy. I was crazy as a young preacher. I'm really nuts now. How did I get that way? I used to be a garden enclosed. And it used to be a spring shut up. And it used to be a fountain sealed. What happened? Song of Solomon, what happened? He said, come, O north wind, and blow thou south. The north wind comes off of Mount Lebanon and Mount Hermon. It's a cold, biting wind. It kills everything but the evergreens. It's the Holy Ghost in conviction, killing everything but Christ. He said, come and blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may what? Back to John 7:38. Flow. Which way, children? Out. No blow, no flow. Would you like to know what else is in that garden, honey? 9 different fruit. Sound familiar? Fruit of the Spirit? And all of them except the pomegranate, native to Palestine, which means they had to be imported, brought in from another country, out of this world, from another nature. All that stuff is where? Now, no wonder Paul said this as he explained it. He said, the God of this world, the God of all the religions of this world, has blinded the minds of those, lest the light of the gospel of glory should shine unto them. The enemy wants to keep God's people in the dark as to what's already in them and what it's there for. Now, I've given you a hint of what's in you. Now I'm going to give you the secret. If I open my Bible with you, you'll just start taking notes and miss it. So, in all due respect to everyone, I'm going to make a request if I can have the liberty. May I have the liberty? Put your notes down and your Bibles away. But I want to get this message. I don't want to forget it. Then put your Bibles down and put your notes away. And thank God for tapes. I want some eye contact. I want some hearts. I'm your friend. I didn't come here to take from you. I came here to serve you. It's the way I live. I love you. You are wonderful. But you better know on what basis I say that. I look inside and I see Christ. The apron, the mask that some of us are wearing today is a most ugly thing. Hasn't been laundered in years. You don't look good in it. It's just not you. It's nothing like you. It's a lie. It's an anti-Christ. It's another you. It's another God. It's an idol. It sets you forth to be something or someone that you are not. That's a nicer word than phony, but it's just unreal. For your professors, let me spell relief in this. I know there's young people here that have yet to know discipline in their life. don't think I am talking no discipline. I'm talking something else. That's apples and oranges with what I'm talking. And I know there's order. I'm a papa. I got four kids in my house. I'm a pastor. I will not allow certain things in my church, like gossip and that kind of, it won't happen. Mm-mm. No. So you're looking at somebody that's one of the strongest local church preachers in America. Okay? Everybody breathe. James said it this way. I need 20 minutes of your time, and then I'm going to let you do whatever you want to do. You can go have tea or lunch, or you can talk to God. Because it's none of my business. All I can do, and learn this, preachers, is present the truth. All I can do is plant or water. Only God can do anything else. James said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And he goes on, and that's in verse 5. And then he says in verse 8, he said, don't be double-minded. He said, don't let that man, watch me, think, it's a mind problem, renewing the mind, that he'll receive what? Anything from the Lord. Now you know that scripture. But then he goes up to verse 16 and 17. He said, brethren, don't be deceived. Watch this, in other words. Verse 17, every good and perfect gift comes which way? Down from whom? The Father of lights, in whom there is what? No variableness, neither what? Shadow of turning. Note the contrast. Double-minded man, the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. Which one you want to be like? The Lord. He goes on down, verses 22 to 25. I'm going to paraphrase it to make it real simple. He said, and this is my prayer request for you. Not just to be hearers of the word, but to be doers. He said, a man that just hears it and doesn't do it, this is rough. He said, here's what he's like. He is like a man, King James says, beholding. The Greek says contemplating. Contemplating what? King James says, his natural face. Where? In a glass or mirror. Then James went on to say, this guy that hears it but never does it, he contemplates his natural face in the mirror. Watch it. Watch the language. Then goes his way. All we like sheep have, come on, gone astray, Isaiah 53. Turn everyone to his own way, and Jehovah hath laid on him the what? Iniquity or lawlessness of us all. There's that propensity in us, hear me, children, to hear a word like this and slough it off. There's a propensity to take a look in the mirror, see the truth, and then James says, he'll go his own way and immediately forget what, watch me, what manner of man he was. Where? In the mirror. What I am here for 10 days to do is to take the word of God, which is the mirror, and old-timey Pentecost does it like this. Behold your sinfulness. Such ignorance. I'm taking that book this morning and the rest of the time since I've been here, and I'm saying, behold him. Behold his righteousness. The man in the mirror is Jesus. The man in the mirror is the new man. And the man in the mirror has one eye. How do you know that? Verse 18 of that context says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind, tis, a certain kind, a new species, that we should be a kind of what? First fruits of his creatures. The natural face, the word natural is genesis, G-E-N-E-S-I-S. It's your genesis face. Literally, it is the face of your birth. Rewind, explain. I have given you the Word of God and say, now look in the Word and let's see who we are as a born-again people. Let me show you your Genesis face. In you as a prophet, priest, and king, nine kinds of fruit, all this stuff. Christ, who is the image. Your Genesis face began in Genesis 1 and 26. Let us make man, that's mankind, male and female man, in our what? Own image and likeness. You computer buffs will like this. Man is an icon. You click on your computer, what comes up? A bunch of windows. The window is not the program. The window comes through. The program, rather, comes through the window. God wants to come to this campus, wants to come to you people this morning. He wants to double-click on every one of you so he can come through you. In Malachi 3:10, I'll open you, not for you, I'll open you the windows of heaven. He wants to open you, children. He wants to, you, oh, hallelujah, I'm prophesying now. This local church, this campus, this ministry is a window through which God wants to come to your nation. You're a window, man. You're a window. You're a window, brethren. I'm a window to America. Pray for me. I'm not the program. My God, that'll preach. We have this treasure where? In an earthen vessel. Why? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The glory of God's revealed where? In the face of Jesus Christ. That's the man in the mirror. Now contemplate him. Behold him. And then understand the reason you're breathing. One reason. That you might be conformed to that image. And any other image. Whether your mama told you, your papa told you, some stupid preacher told you, or you in your own ignorance concocted it because you're afraid to be like God in the earth is a lie. And his destiny is to be burned with fire. And the Word is that fire. God's not happy with my images. When I come into a meeting like this and hear the truth of who I am in Christ and then go out here and do or be something I'm not, he says, excuse me, what is that thing? Old Frank Sinatra's dead. He did it his way. Broadway songs are nice. I've got to be me. Okay. It'll kill you. And so we hide behind images. Male images, female images, family images, denominational images, doctrinal images, national images. The only problem is you've got a whole generation of young people now on the earth without the Holy Ghost who can spot a phony. They hate religion. That's a plus. A hearer of the word, not a doer. I'm repeating it. I'm making my second incision now. The first one caught most of it. I'm cutting on you. I want to cut the rest of it out. He's like a man contemplating his natural face in the glass. Once you look into the glass, the mirror of the Word of God, it mirrors the nature of Christ in you. And you keep beholding until there's that union and communion. Most holy place. The highest order of anything is to become that thing. That's the highest order of a thing, is to become it. For whom he did foreknow, them he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8:29, Hebrews 2:11, for he who sanctified and they who are sanctified are all out of one. It's an ablative of source in the Greek language. They're all out of the same ek, out of the same origin character, out of the same source, like the golden candlestick beat out of one piece. Pure gold. God sent me here to bring a mirror to your nation. And with a craft and a gift and a grace to say, behold the Lord. And as you do, do it with understanding. Corporately, behold yourself. He's like you, you're like him. Because as he is, my God, so are we in this world. You know the saddest thing? If we go to lunch and immediately forget what we saw this morning. You know what would be heartrending? If we'd walk away from these 10 days and forget what manner of men and women we were in the mirror. Only one thing will keep you from it. A veil over your face. That veil is an idol. That veil is a god, a false one. That veil is your attempt to define your own existence. That veil is you, young person, trying to find yourself. Go on with that. I'm not trying to find you. I'm trying to kill you in the Lord. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I don't want to preach much longer. I'll preach the anointing away. But I'm concerned that some of you still aren't serious enough with me this morning. You're just thinking about changing. You don't want to change. Why? It's safe behind that cloistered thing you live in. It's safe. It's safe. You won't have to come out. You won't have to thrust yourself. You won't have to be bold. You won't have to be aggressive. You'll never have to go down to the gates of hell and get some building material. You'll never have to do nothing. We can just sit on our spiritual behinds until we die and go to heaven. What you going to do? When I teach the book of Ruth, I'm going to hammer this thing again. I'm going to hammer it hard. If I don't get you today, I'll get you next week. If God gives me grace and strength and understanding to do it. Because down at the threshing floor, Boaz asked her one question. And you know what the question was? Who are you? If you don't answer that question correctly, you'll die and go to heaven and miss God's best. If you answer correctly, you'll change the world and your nation. If you don't answer that question correctly, you will die and God will have to wait until another generation arises, your children and grandchildren. But every 2,000 years, God has a son, knowing the time. There's never been a day like this day. Watch yourself. And there's never been a people. The only thing that will keep this school, this man and woman, and you from God's best from here on in will be a willful resistance to let go of the idolatrous image you've concocted of yourself and exchange it for the real thing. That's the word of the Lord. And God wouldn't have me speak it if you weren't wearing it. Only a real friend will talk to you like this. I have colleagues and friends in ministry because I got blind spots. A lot of them. Honey, I got hang-ups that aren't hung up yet. I need a whole lot of help. But I got this one down. I'm strong in this area. And that's what's great about friends. I might be strong in an area where you're not, and you can be strong in an area where I'm not. And it's not a time to point the finger and condemn. It's a time out of the mercy seat to watch me, children, forgive and bless. You forgive and bless God, and in doing so, release Him in your life. Then you forgive and bless yourself. Then you take it home and you forgive and bless everybody that lives in your house. And then you bring it to church and forgive and bless everybody that goes to church with you. And then the big one, you forgive and bless every preacher that ever hurt you. Then you're free. I'm giving you the secret to life. Here it is. Every day you forgive everyone for everything. Then you're free. Take a word back to your nation, sir. Only a free man can set a man free. I've been hurt as much as any of you. But I've forgiven everybody for everything. The secret is to continue in that law of liberty. He said, if you abide, remain, Menno, abide in my word, stay in the mirror, then and then only are you my disciples indeed. You want to talk about discipline? I'll talk to you about discipline. Keep your nose in that book. Not to memorize it, not to be proud of how much you know, or if you have the correct semantic, and the syntax is just right. That you're sure that as you look into the mirror and behold the Lord, and you behold His righteousness, not your sinfulness, His righteousness, not your limitations, but His unlimitedness, not your ignorance, but His wisdom, not your unbelief, but His faith, looking unto Jesus, the author, come on, how long do I look, and the finisher of our faith. And as you receive the end of your faith, that is the salvation of your souls, that is the complete renovation of your mind, then the soul always expresses it through the body, and then a generation arises, and they will not die. It's going to happen. But we should not all sleep. There will be a generation that arises on this planet that will simply look into the mirror, and you know what? They'll say, that's a good report. That's what God says I am. My daddy never told me that. My mama never told me that. No preacher ever told me that. Oh, there was a crazy man came to New Zealand one spring when he thought it was going to be spring and warm and it was cold, and he wore an island shirt that morning. I remember that, and he looked quite intense. He almost scared me that day, but somebody, that big old boy, that let me know he loved me. He's just a man. But I felt something down inside of me I've never felt before. And the Holy Ghost said, he's right. Look in the mirror, Des. You're an honest man. The word of the Lord is in your mouth. You're known and feared in the heavens. You're the only reason I'm here. I love you. Had some water to wash feet. In Jesus' name, don't sell yourself short. Don't you ever, in your mind and mouth, put yourself down. And don't ever let anybody else do it either. I want to prophesy to somebody in here. Stop apologizing. You got enough faith in your guts, man. These men are with you to shake and rock your nation. Just go do it. Knowing that whatever we do and however we do it, listen, you'll always be criticized. Something or somebody's always going to be in your face. The secret is knowing what He has said about you, knowing that He has sent you, knowing, hallelujah, help me somebody, that He has empowered you. The only way I survive, I stay in the mirror, boys. You think this isn't pragmatic? You think this isn't practical? And when I look at you, I don't look at your flesh. I don't even listen to stupid things that come out of men's minds and mouths. No! I look for Christ. I I go on a treasure hunt. I don't root through garbage. And I find it. I can find the meanest man and the sorriest kid in the world and say, you'll be great if you just follow God. Something you've got to do that nobody else can do the way you can do it, son. Lady, there's something you can say that nobody else can say the way you say it. Now look in the mirror. Get a handle on who you really are. And after you've looked in the mirror and been transformed into that same image, then go and face your world. And then let the righteous be as bold as a lion. Christ is the image of God. Antichrist is any other image. And it's not important how we got it, or who gave it to you, or if you gave it to yourself. On the count of three, quietly, could I hear your last name, first name? One, two, three. Here's the simplicity of it, and I'm done. God thinks something about you, and has said something about you. Man thinks something about you, and says something about you. Whose report will you believe? Christ? Image of God. Let us make man in our image. Romans 1, you know what we've done? We've changed the image of the uncorruptible God into an image like unto corruptible beast. We've changed it. Why do we have a Baptist, Methodist, and Pentecostal Jesus? Easy. We conform him to our own image so that we can invent a God that will accommodate the way we live. He said, Moses, I'm sending you to Egypt. Well, boss, if I'm going to work for you, can I have your name? He said, I am that I am. Moses said, what's that mean? That means I shall be there as who I am, shall I be there? What's that mean? Well, I shall be there as who I am, not as who you think me to be. I'm not Methodist, I'm not Baptist, I'm not Pentecostal, I'm not male, female, black, white. I'm not American, not British or whatever. I shall be there as who I am, and you can count on it. Shall I be there? And he rolled a cosmic bowling ball down through Egypt and brought him out. My God. I love that about the Lord. He just shows up. I love you. That was weak. I love you. I'm concerned about you. Because you know what I see? I see a garden. Look at this campus. I see a spring. I see a fountain. You are and you have what your nation needs. In the name of Jesus, I command you to repent of any image other than the wonderful one that you already are. What do you see, Pastor Varner? I see a room full of prophets and priests and kings. What's supposed to happen, Pastor Varner? The north wind to come and kill everything but the evergreens, to do away with everything but Christ, so that all that you are, and it's awesome what you are, can flow out. He's here. Shh. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, nobody else's, and the joy we share as we tarry there. None other has ever known the peace of God that has flooded this room is the seal of the Holy Spirit to let you know not to worry. It's already taken care of. Whether you sit, stand, kneel, or go on your face, I'm going back to that door. And I'm just going to stand there and ask the Lord to talk to you and for you to talk to Him. Bring that thing to Him now, so that you can be released to be all that you are. Take any posture of prayer you want, wherever you want. But I beg of you, please. Come on, let's talk to the Lord right now. Come on.